Welcome to the Cabin Culture Podcast, where we spend a little more time diving deeper into all the fun parts of cabin culture. I like to think of this as both the material and imagined expressions of how cabin lovers, dwellers, builders, and designers wish to live a more simple and authentic life. On this episode, we're talking to Misty Kincaid of Water's Edge at Stanley Creek. She shares about their journey with their log cabin in Blue Ridge, Georgia, including how they bought it while living in Alaska, using a rental management company, and the many requirements they had to even get listed, hosting remotely, and different ways to market. Plus, she shares three tips for the mindset, knowledge, and skills that you need to grow on Instagram. Let's do it. Hi.
Hi.
It's so funny when you talk to people only on social media, you lose the nuances of communication and personality.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just expression and tone, but also accent.
Yes. I can't hide it.
No. But I mean, I live in North Carolina, so it's a very familiar, comforting accent.
I was watching some of your, I didn't even realize like the Big Dog Little Bed, and I was watching some of your videos in Hillsboro. My sister lives in Hillsboro.
North Carolina? Mm-hmm. Who's your sister?
Leah Chapman. They've been there for about 6 years.
Because we live right downtown. My husband is on the board of adjustments. He's the chair of the board of adjustments. He worked at the local preschool for 16 years.
That's
so
awesome.
He knows everybody in town.
That's awesome. We love downtown Hillsboro.
Oh my God, it's so cute. We lived slightly outside of downtown. And then when interest rates were super high, because there's so few houses downtown,
yeah.
When interest rates were super high. I mean, I hate that I have a high interest rate, but it meant that we could actually buy it and weren't like outbid by like 20 people.
Yeah.
So we jumped on it and moved downtown.
Well,
and
so I, it's, that's
love
a,
it.
That's a cool place. It's a really cool place. So that's, I was like, oh my gosh. And then I just didn't realize, you know, at first, like when you see Cozy Rock, you're like, I just assume you're like, you live in Payne. And then I saw you have a cabin in Boone too, right?
Yeah.
So like
that was our first cabin.
We grew up going skiing at Sugar Mountain.
But it's the same thing for you.
Yeah.
Because you live in Alaska, but your cabin's in Georgia, but people probably associate you way more with Georgia.
Yeah.
At least people on the internet.
It's interesting. It's tricky with Instagram because you don't want to confuse people. And people be like, oh, you get so much snow at your cabin. I'm like, you know, like, but still just trying to kind of let them know. Yeah. We are very much, we are from Georgia, born and raised.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, I can tell now. I mean, you told me before, so I knew that intellectually, but now I really feel it.
Yeah. I'm a little scared to get like on Instagram stories too much because my accent is so thick. I'm like, oh, people are going to be mean to me.
Oh no, but it's totally aligned with your cabin. That absolutely makes sense to me. Now, if your cabin were in Alaska, I can see that being like a little bit more confusing
because
like that accent in Alaska just do not connect in my brain.
And, you know, Alaska is such a like melting pot too. You get so many people from the South up here. It's so funny to me.
I don't know. I don't know a lot about Alaska, but it intrigues me for sure. Though I do want to stick, because I do think a big focus of what we're going to talk about today is Instagram, because you mentioned that you get asked about it a lot, and it feels like it's something that people are wanting to hear more about. I will be honest, I tend to shy away from it on the podcast. We have done a couple episodes where we talked about it more, specifically with the photographer Seth and Aaron. And I never know episode numbers for anyone listening.
Yeah.
And then the other one is North Cascades Haven, which we talked a lot about Instagram because she's grown
a
ton.
She like kind of blew it up, you know.
Which makes sense. Her cabin is like so beautiful.
Yeah,
I love
it. It's amazing. It's amazing.
But similarly, you do not have a small account. And I do think that when people see that, there's so many cabin accounts out there now.
Yeah.
I think people have questions of like, I want to use this for marketing. Marketing is more effective the more followers I have. So how do I grow
well,
an account?
Well, and it's such a tricky, and especially if you're starting out, like it's just super overwhelming in the beginning. And and so I think, you know, and we all are looking at each other's accounts and like curious about what's working, what's not working. When we bought the cabin, we didn't necessarily think about making an Instagram account for it, but
that's what I was going to ask. So it was not immediate.
No. Like, we had a lot of work that we did on the inside cause it was not a full remodel, but we did a lot. We put in a lot more money than we actually anticipated having to put into it in the very beginning. But afterwards it was
That's
like, you know, are we going to miss some of the market? Like, are we going to miss, you know, people seeing our cabin if we don't get on Instagram. Because I've never been like big on Instagram. And so marketing, I mean, I was a school teacher for 12 years. Like I wasn't, I didn't know a lot about marketing, but wow. I will just say, I think it has a big impact to get your cabin.
Okay. So I want to talk about that, but yeah. I want to go back just a little bit to that remodel. What yeah. stage of the remodel was it that you were like, maybe this is beginning to feel more like a necessity yeah. and less like a nice to have in terms of an Instagram?
Yeah. So I think once we kind of got towards, I guess it's like when it started to feel finished, it was like, wow, this is really turning into something. We were getting, like, we were already excited about it, but we didn't buy the cabin with the idea of necessarily making it like a super fancy rental. We just wanted it to make some revenue when we weren't there, because the whole point in us getting the cabin was when we were there and we're visiting family, staying for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, we just wanted a place to be. So, you know, we weren't like being like our family, be like, can we stay with you for 3 weeks? You know, but we wanted to have a place. We wanted it to feel like a vacation because it was my husband's time off and our kids were, you know, we were homeschooling at the time. And so, yeah, we just kind of all of a sudden was like, we should make an account for this. Like we should see if we can, you know, get it out there, because there's Blue Ridge is very dense in vacation rentals. And
So this is not something that I think many people know, because I will be honest, the first time I'd ever even heard of Blue Ridge, Georgia was Spencer, which is a really interesting note about Instagram, right? Because yeah. I probably would never have thought of vacationing yeah. in Blue Ridge, Georgia, yeah. except Spencer built a cabin, put it on Instagram, grew his account. Yeah. Then I found out about Blue Ridge, exactly. Georgia. So like, I love this idea that growth isn't just about vanity or metrics. It's about actually exposing right. people to your place.
Well, yeah.
But anyway, well, so now yeah. there's a lot. Tell us about the area.
Well, so I actually grew up there. I grew up in Blue Ridge,
Georgia.
In Blue Ridge. And at that time, we had the train. We had this beautiful train that would, you know, people would come in the summer. There was a lot of visitors. And so we kind of knew that it was touristy, I guess, because we saw the people, like as kids, we saw my dad owned an antique store on Main Street. And so we saw how busy it would get at Labor Day. We saw that there was some like arts yeah. in the park, and there were, you know, so we knew it got busier at certain times of the year, but it has truly, and this probably is because of social media too, but it has blown up. Like it is so popular, and you get people from Chattanooga. You get a lot of people have retired. They moved to Florida, or they haven't retired yet. So they get a vacation rental and they mm-hmm. go back and forth. And so mm-hmm. having grown up there, it's an interesting perspective. And when we decided to move to Alaska, we sold our house. We sold the house that we were currently in. And we didn't have a place there for about the first year. And then we started to be like, we kind of want to have a place. And so we started looking. We love fly fishing. And so we looked at like several different cabins. They all were waterfront. That was for us. We were the ones that were like, we want to be on waterfront. And so we looked at all these cabins and houses that were on trout streams. And we kept going back to this one. And
so it was on the market for a while then.
It had been on the market for a long, like I shouldn't say a long time. They put it on the market in the summer for a pretty high price. And we just kind of disregarded it. We're like, yeah, we're not going to do that. And that was even before we moved to Alaska. And my husband, he's kind of obsessed with Trulia. Like he's on it all the time. Like just, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, no, we don't need to look at houses.
There's a lot of people listening to this can relate.
Yeah. And so he's always looking and he's like, there was a price drop, you know? And so we're scoping it out and we look and we just kept going back to this one. And it's just, yeah. I think, you know, it's like I told you, you know, it had all the feels. You just walk yeah. in and it just felt like a place that would kind of feel like home, like a place where we would feel like we were getting away, you know, and yeah. in the mountains. And so it just had all the feels. And so we went for it. And
now at this point, were you just shopping for yourselves? Were you just like, okay, we are picking out a house or a cabin solely for our family? or had you considered renting it? So you yeah. had that in your mind.
So we too. Had that in our mind too. And so there was this we had a type of cabin in our minds of what we wanted, but we also wanted it to have the ability to be a vacation rental. So we were looking at things like accessibility, how many bedrooms, and then you can get into the nitty gritty, like do two bedrooms rent better than a three bedroom? Do two bedrooms?
Profit margin.
Exactly.
What does a two bedroom cost versus a four bedroom? Yeah. Can you make that much more off of a four bedroom to make it work monthly expense?
And then if you really want to get into the nitty gritty, it's like, oh, well, if you make it a four bedroom, can your septic system handle the amount of guests that are coming in and staying in your cabin? So yes, we definitely looked at that. And I think I mentioned this too, that, because we live in Alaska, because we've never ventured into vacation rentals, we went with the comfort of a cabin management company there in Blue Ridge to basically just get our toes wet and just kind of be like, do we really want to go for this and manage this from Alaska, or do we just kind of want to take that cut and see how it goes? And so we're in the see how it goes phase, and it's going pretty good.
You need to take it over.
I know.
I'm not trying to be bossy, but I read your description and I was like, she has what it takes to run this, and it's not that much harder. I've done both.
Yeah. Well, and it's an interesting perspective, right? Because having been a teacher, I'm kind of, a control freak. I've said it on air. My husband's to be like, oh, it's been recorded. You've admitted
you
it.
Have to be as a teacher, though. I was also a teacher. You have to be.
So it's just a matter of being. So there is that element of, I would have done this or I would have done that. And you do, relinquishing that amount of control has been hard for me. But at the same time, when an emergency comes up, things do get taken care of, but it's a huge chunk. You can ask around to various places, at least in Fannin County, you're looking at anywhere between a 20 to 30% cut of your profits. Yep. So, and there's a lot that goes into that. So we are at the tail end of that phase. So June will be,
wait, can I ask you a quick clarifying question?
Yeah.
When you say 20%, is that, or 30%, is that of your gross revenue or of your profit? Cause mine was of our gross revenue.
It's of your gross revenue.
Right. And that is a very, I just think that's an important note, because 20% of your profits is way less than 20% of your gross revenue. Yeah. And in some cases, 20% of your gross revenue might be your profit.
Yeah.
You might not have anything left over for yourself.
That's exactly right. And so, I really do feel like if you give yourself a year to see, like, first of all, is this something that you even want to take on? Second of all, does it feel manageable? Do you still enjoy your time when you're there? Or do you feel consumed with like projects and things like that? For us, it's the first year, I would say the first several months, we were always working on the cabin when we went back. Like there was always something to do. The last time that we went back was probably the first time we truly felt like, oh, okay, we've kind of figured it out. Like things are going to got a well-oiled machine going on now. In the beginning, I feel like we were totally just trying it out. Like being like, is this something that we can do, like to do, want to do, and can we get it cash flowing? Can it be something that will be, profitable? And from a marketing standpoint, I definitely feel like our cabin is marketable. Like that was the other thing. It's like, well, there's so many cabins in Blue Ridge, but I do think that once you find something unique about your cabin, like for example, Spencer's account was one of the first accounts. I think I was seeing his cabin on Instagram before we even had the cabin. And I was like, I love that cabin. Like, cause we have another property over on Fighting Town, another trout stream, but we haven't built on it. And I've always loved Spencer's cabin. And so it's so funny cause we were literally a mile away from Spencer's.
He told me that. We're all
the same road. It's just the funniest thing. And so we know exactly like where he's at. And, but you have to make yourself stand out in that market in Blue Ridge.
Interesting though, because I think we're talking about Instagram as a tool for marketing. And I think there's two cases where it makes a ton of sense. It's kind of a no brainer for your cabin, and they're opposite ends of the spectrum. Yeah. I started one for Cozy Rock and not for Boone, or put no time. Our account for Boone has like, I don't know, 1200 followers. Yeah. I spend no time on it because there's so much traffic there. There's so many people that, like, basically Airbnb, we've been profitable since the very beginning. Yeah. But with Freeport, it's on the opposite end of that spectrum. Yeah. It actually turns out I'm kind of incorrect and people do travel there, but I did not think that they would in the winter months. So I was like, I need to bring them there for something else. Yeah. And what you're saying is, with all these other cabins in the same area, I have to create like additional ways for people to like prioritize my cabin. Sure. So it's interesting when I think about that spectrum, it's really helpful on both ends. And I think it can be helpful anywhere, but I think those are the two times where it makes a lot of sense.
I think so too, is, you know, it's, you know, our cabin is not a tiny cabin. It's not an enormous monstrous cabin, but you know, the thing when we got it, we were like, oh, it's wheelchair accessible. That's great. Mm-hmm. People can come and have their grandparents could come. Yep. You know, because we do have family gatherings there. When we lived in Georgia, all of the Thanksgivings, all the holidays, all the birthday parties were always at our house. And so, you know, that was an adjustment for all of us when we moved to Alaska. So when we came back, it was another reason we wanted to have a place. And so
big enough to host everyone.
Yeah. And but not so big that it was unmanageable. Like, I remember walking into a cabin that we were looking at over on another trout stream near Ellijay called Turnip Town Creek. And it was just two houses from Jimmy Carter's cabin. It was the coolest thing.
Oh, wow.
But the cabin itself, when I walked into it, I was like, I'm so overwhelmed already with the space. And it was like,
just, because it was so big.
So big. And it honestly, it was weird. It looked like a cabin from the outside, but was like a house on the inside. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And like, whereas this one,
well, your brain is like, wait, I thought I just walked into a cabin, but I actually don't feel like I'm in a cabin.
I felt like I was just in a house. And so, beautiful property. Like, I mean, like I said, it's just like just a couple of cabins down. You could just look up the stream and see Jimmy Carter's cabin where he wrote his book. And it was just so dreamy, but it didn't feel right. And that's why we kept going back to, you know, Water's Edge Cabin. And it was just, you'd walk in and you'd smell the pine, and it's enough wood that it's like perfect. It's not like so overwhelming. And then it has the beams. And I love that it's three levels, that it's not a huge cabin, but it feels spacious. And so when we do have birthday parties and there's kids running around everywhere, you know, it's just perfect. And we love the deck space. I mean, that, you know, so it was like, it just kind of checked all the boxes. It was at the top of our price range for what we wanted to spend, because we were looking at it very much as an investment. You know, it was like, okay, this is going to take a couple of years to get this going. Is it going to be worth it? And so we just kind of went for it. We closed on Valentine's Day of 2023. And I feel like it's all happened really fast. And
so then you closed in 2023 in February. And then when did you said it wasn't towards the end that you thought you needed to create an Instagram account. Yeah. When did you actually do that?
So I created the Instagram account at the end of April. So we had our contractor that we've used for a long time in Blue Ridge. He helped us with our previous house. He came in, and even though it was remodeled according to the real estate listing, we did a lot of things to, first of all, just get it safe for renters, right? Like, just getting things to code and safe. And so by the end of April, things had really come along. We put in a huge fire pit. That was probably our biggest, well, I shouldn't say our biggest, but it was one of our biggest investments, because hot tubs are so expensive. That was probably our biggest investment, was the hot tub.
Yes.
So yeah, by about the end of April, I was like, I think I'm going to start an Instagram, like, for our cabin.
I'm calling up your Instagram now so I can see the things that you're talking about. Yeah. Oh yeah. That fire pit is really big.
It's really big. And it was cool because I was like, we kind of knew we wanted it to just come straight off the deck. We wanted it to be like an extension, right? There was this, one of the reasons we loved this cabin was it was right on Stanley Creek, which is like one of our favorite trout streams. And we just wanted it to feel like everything was connected. And so when we had the landscaping guy come out, we're like, hey, we just want it to connect to the bottom steps of the deck and just go out and just be this huge, warm, just place. And so it took time. We had to be really patient because we would be in Alaska and then we would come back and it would be in Alaska and right. we would come back. And right. the fire pit, it just, when that went in, I was like, I think we're on to something. Like, this feels good. Like, I feel like.
So was that when you started the Instagram? You were like, I need to share.
I was like, this is cool. I'm excited. You know, things were just really coming together. We had painted the cabin and it just looked so beautiful. We got the hot tub in. And so there were a lot of things that just came together. And so, yeah, the end of April, I started the account and definitely did not know what I was doing. And I was just like, kind of flying blind. And we didn't even list the cabin with Escape to Blue Ridge. That's our management company right now, until the second week of July, I think, because I remembered missing the 4th of July. So basically we missed like the whole like first part of the summer just because we were still finishing like lots of little things along the way. And we had to get things up to code. We had to do our fire safety. And there were things like the management company was like, you need to do these things in order for us to list your cabin. So, you know, one of the things that, you know, like they wanted us to have like a certain amount of TVs and, you know, you need to have a hot tub and a lot of these cabins. A lot of these cabin management companies, I don't know if a lot of people realize this, is that you either need to have a view, a beautiful mountain view, or you need to be waterfront. And if you don't have one of those two things, it's like, either they're not going to list you or you're just not going to like stand out enough, I guess. But for us, it was like, well, we're waterfront. Not everybody's going to go trout fishing, but we do have a stream. But that was really more for us. And so I think it's a very competitive market. And we're in an area, and Spencer's probably in, he's in this area too, but we're in an area called the Asker Adventure area. And so it's cool because the road that goes right in front of our cabin is actually the Benton Mackay like hiking trail. And so you'll see people walk past the cabin with their backpacks and it's an extension of the trail until you get back on it. So it's just the road. And so we have all kinds of just really cool access. You know, we're right next to Falls Branch Falls. So there's hiking, there's biking. We feel like we, in the summer, hopefully, because it's our first summer with having the cabin listed, that we'll get an influx of people who are coming like just for like adventure stuff too.
Right.
And so
I want to go back really quick though, to what you were saying about the property management company being really picky about what you have to have listed. Yeah. And I want to clarify one thing. And that is, there are property management companies who all they do is just literally manage your property.
Right.
And then, and this is similar to the Blue Ridge Mountains in North Carolina too. Then there are property management companies that will manage your property, but also market properties. Mm. And they have extensive email lists that they send, and they have a website where folks can go. It's basically like another Airbnb, but local for that area. And so just for anyone who's hearing like, oh no, I can't use a property manager because I have to have these things.
Yeah.
The one that you use is the second one.
Yeah.
When it's the first one. So there are companies who don't care about what you have or whatever, because they're just doing the logistical back end work. If they're trying to market it and get people to book it on the website, then they do care because they want it. They want people to know that when they come to their website, you can find a certain quality.
Yes, exactly.
So I just want to distinguish
those. And I think that that's a great distinction because and for us, it was like, well, okay, we knew we were looking for a place with waterfront. However, I'm all about get me out into the woods. I don't have to have a view. Just put me out in the woods. Like I very well could have, you know, we could have found a cabin that we loved that wasn't waterfront or didn't have a view.
Yeah.
And so that, I think they kind of set that precedent because the market is so dense. They just have to kind of start at a certain level or else they would just have so many cabins that, and when they do market it, because yes, they do have an Instagram, they do have a Facebook, they do send out newsletters. They do market, you know, your cabin, but it's not, to me, you know, it's not marketed enough that it gets your cabin seen enough. Does that make sense?
Right.
And that, I mean, that's not a jab at them. Right. That's not a jab at them, but it's also like, wait, we got to kind of get it out there a little bit more than that. And it's been noticed. Like they have emailed us and they have said, whoa, like you've already got so-and-so bookings for 2024. Great job. We want to adjust your price. You know?
Oh, good.
Yeah. So it's, I really do believe that the Instagram makes a big difference because it just gets your property seen more. And the more it gets right. seen, the more that people are clicking on your booking link. And whether they book or not, they might share it. They might tag a friend. Right. It gets saved. Right. So it's marketing. And that's the thing right. is, you know, I like I said, I'm still learning, but I do think that we just kind of live in a day and age that if, you know, whether you're on Airbnb or whether, you know, you're on VRBO or if you're with a cabin management company, I still don't think you should just rely on a cabin management company or just on one.
And that's the value that I think people often miss when they complain about Airbnb fees and VRBO fees. And I get it. The fees are high.
Yeah.
And they do provide practical things like taking in money so that you don't have to like worry about that. But the other thing they do is put you in front of a lot of eyeballs. Exactly. Like every time I watch TV, I see a VRBO commercial or an Airbnb commercial.
Yeah.
And they're bringing people into a different way of traveling, exactly. which is, oh, maybe next time instead of a hotel, I'm going to go to Airbnb, which then puts your property in front of them. Exactly. And that is part of the value of what you're paying for.
Yeah.
And if you're managing it yourself, then you don't need to give a 20% to anyone. Well, that is what your service fee is doing. It's paying the platform for all the advertising.
Well, and you know, there's costs. I mean, no matter how you slice it, you're still going to be paying somehow or another to get your cabin out there. I know with the particular company that we're using, they don't put they have like their actual direct booking page that they use, but they also put all their cabins on VRBO. So like,
I noticed that on your listing.
There are a lot of cabins that are listed with this particular agency that either A, don't have an Instagram or B, they don't put the VRBO link. But I think what a lot of people don't realize is that there are people who like to just book with VRBO. Because, you know, there's Marriott, I think some of the hotel, like they actually have like benefits and discounts that you can get if you.
Because now they've merged booking.com.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I think, and that's something that I've learned is I'm like, okay, how many different ways can we get our cabin seen? And so we even pay a small amount every month to Cabinland and we have our like, listing on Cabinland. And so, you know,
I didn't even know you could do that.
And so it's just, and it's not like we're getting bookings every single day, but there are people who have
messaged. Like the more eyes I can get on it, the more booked it's going to be.
And
I want to go back to something you said though, which was you said you're going to pay for it no matter what. And I think that's true, but this is why I find Instagram so powerful because I feel like it is kind of leveling that playing field because it is the one way to get eyes on your cabin that doesn't have to cost anything. Now for me, I'm not at my cabin. I pay photographers regularly. So it does cost me something to create the kind of content I'm creating. But as Reels became more popular, the need for photographers for me has gone down. Because the only thing I use it for is the cover photo, which still matters. It's the same as a different post every day.
Sure.
But we can create more of the content ourselves. Yep. And that is free. It's not free. Your time is worth something and you're spending a lot of time. But anyone who wants to learn it and is willing to put in the time can use
and that's a really interesting thing because in the beginning, I never thought, oh, I'll be creating the content for this cabin. That was never on our radar. And after a couple of two or three months of just like, scrolling through Instagram and just seeing like what the quality of the content is, like, is it reels? Is it carousels? Like, what is it? I was like, we could do this. Like, we love being at the cabin. Why don't we just start sharing more of it? And I think we had our first reel go viral. And I was like, what? Happening. And all of the reel was just this still video of a super relaxing, like rainy day. And I was like, it's so simple. Why, you know, don't overthink it. Don't overcomplicate it. Usually whatever you enjoy about your cabin is what other people enjoy about being at the cabin and just that that culture of relaxing and the feels that we all get when we're at our own cabin. So I was like, okay, let's just roll with it. And then it was like, that's when I kind of started figuring out that, wait a second, like there's something that people want to see when they click follow on a cabin page. They want to feel like they're there, like they're at the cabin. And so slowly it became more of a, okay, I'm not just like marketing a cabin in Blue Ridge. It's like you're marketing a vibe. You're marketing a feel. You're marketing like this is what you're, and it's true because when we go to the cabin, we feel all these things. And that's why we love going there. That's why we bought a cabin. And even though I grew up in the mountains, we didn't like live in a cabin, but I always loved, there were things that I loved about where we lived. We had the wood stove. Like I loved campfires. And so it's, I think that, you know, you can make marketing very, very complicated. And I did that in the beginning and I made it really hard. And I was like, why am I on my phone doing this?
How did you make it hard?
I think I just made it hard because I was overthinking it. Like I didn't know what to share. I didn't know how to share our cabin because you can see, you know, like, oh, book a stay in the mountains. And it's true. Like if you're just looking and you might find the perfect cabin, but I think the thing that's really powerful about Instagram and about Reels especially is that it does have a way of like capturing emotions. And then all of a sudden you're like, you know, you feel like you're there.
Right. I wonder how many people listening to this have ever booked a cabin after seeing a post or a reel that says book a stay at a cabin versus how many people listening have ever booked a stay at a cabin after seeing just a short clip that takes you there and makes you feel like you're there. Like, I don't actually think you have to say the words. I think to your point, you're just trying to share the energy that that place holds. And whatever it holds for you is going to be exactly what sells it to other people. And just how do you share that?
Well, and the thing is people don't really like, you're going to the mountains or you're going to spend time with your friends or your family. It's not just all about the cabin, but there is this just entire experience that, you know, like for us that we love. Like when we think about going to the cabin, it's our kids playing in the creek. It's sitting around the fire and making s'mores. It's waking up and it's quiet and you're having coffee and you're snuggling with your pup. Like it's, I think, you know, in the beginning I was like trying way too hard. And it's one of, you know, you have those cringy moments when you're first looking at like the quality of what you're sharing. And it's like, wait, I was not completely off, but I was missing the mark because I was just trying too hard. Like it's the things that we love about being at the cabin are really actually really simple. And the things that, you know, when we look back at our time, like this last time we were there, our oldest, I mean, he spent hours just catching trout and just fishing. And our youngest was just turning over rocks and playing in the stream. And we got to take our dog with us the last time. And so he was playing out in the creek. And so it's, you know, most of our time actually isn't physically inside the cabin, even though we love it. It's, you know, a lot of that time is spent outside. And so
what was the turning point for you? What was the turning point where you went from like marketing is hard and intimidating and to like, oh no, this is actually really simple. What caused that? Do you remember the moment?
I kind of do. It was about 6 months after I had, you know, made the account, all of a sudden I realized that the last time if I just would quit overthinking it, like if I would just take some content that we had and just keep it simple and just shoot it out there, click post, those were the ones that would just go, right? It's like, okay, why was I making this so hard? And so, because I would end up filling up all the drafts in my Instagram and I'm like, why do I have all these? Like, why don't I just share this stuff? And so I think I kind of forced myself because I was like, ooh, I'm spending way too much time like trying to create content. And so I think once I just started keeping it simple and noticing that, like the length of the reels matters, but sometimes, you know, if it's something that does go a little bit longer, I think that the algorithm is a little bit finicky, But I think you just have to have a variety. You can't stick to one thing for too long.
Okay, this is really great, because when I think about teaching new things, I always think about how first you have to have the right mindset, then you have to learn the right things, and then you have to develop the skills. So you've started us off with the mindset, which is don't overthink it and just share what you love about the cabin. And I think if you have the right mindset, then it gets you one step closer. But you still need the knowledge about Instagram. Yeah. And you kind of shared some hints at some of those. But why don't you share like the top three things that you think people should know about Instagram if they're thinking about starting an account or trying to take their account more seriously?
Well, I think that I've probably spent an entirely too much time researching things like keywords and hashtags and real like links, you know, carousels. I think all of those things have their place. And I think for me, once I kind of got into a rhythm and I kind of like, it still goes back to not overthinking it. I used to create a new hashtag list.
Hold on. I'm going to push you a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to push you. I want you to share actual things that you've learned, because I think that's going to be more helpful. Okay. So you just mentioned keywords, hashtags, carousels. Pick the top three of those or anything you've learned and tell us like actual things that you think people should know that they might not know that have helped you the most.
So I think that if you start with hashtags, for example, okay. I'm going to do hashtags and keywords, because for me, in the notes on my phone, in the last 3 or 4 months, I've done an experiment where I haven't changed them. I have used the same hashtags and the same keywords. Now, the question is what should my hashtags be? What should my keywords be? And I think for cabins and for vacation rentals, what does your cabin offer? So like for us, like we are waterfront. So we're in the North Georgia mountains. So we are a cozy cabin. We are a rustic cabin. You know what? And the whole point of hashtags and keywords is so the algorithm knows, where do I push this content? And, you know, I think that, and somewhere along the way, I had watched a video and they're like, stop changing your hashtags and stop changing your keywords because it's confusing the algorithm. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, interesting.
I was like, oh, okay, great. Maybe I'll just try this. And so I kind of started just turning it into an experiment. And so for several weeks, I just didn't change them. And so in the notes, I just like typed out, you know, I mean, if there was a number, I would say 10 hashtags. Now that's not necessarily perfect. I might change if it's springtime, I might say springtime. If it's winter at the cabin, then I might say, you know, winter getaway. You know, I might have something specific for the season, but there are certain hashtags that I've used for months now that I haven't changed. And it might be, you know, a cozy getaway. You know, what is going to direct a person on Instagram? What hashtag might they be searching for to find my cabin? Because at the end of the day, you're trying to get your cabin rented. Okay. Yep. Like you are. I mean, you want to share it with people. It's a special place that you enjoy yourself. And so you're picking your keywords, and my hashtags and my keywords are not that different from each other, but they're also not identical. So, and you know, so I here the last few months, I've just been using 10, maybe 12 hashtags, and then maybe 8 or 9 keywords. And, I mean, and they're very specific to, I guess you could say, our little niche, like, you know, where we are on Instagram, what, you know, what kind of things are people looking for when they see our account? And so I
do. So this is good. So I'm hearing, know that you should be using hashtags and keywords to help find your people. So those hashtags and keywords should be tailored for the people who are looking for the things that you have. And then the second one was don't overuse them. So maybe 10 or less is the right
number. Yeah, I think so. Because and I know you'll see videos and reels and people are like, well, you know, hashtags are out or keywords are in. And what I've noticed is that I do believe now that the algorithm has to have some time to figure out where you want your account to go. And you have to identify that, right? Like who is your market? You know, like for your cabin in Maine, it's slightly different. You know, yes, we're both vacation rentals, but you're not going to be hashtag North Georgia Mountains. You're going to be hashtag Maine, you know,
or hashtag family travel. Like, we're more couple travel, right? So it's like finding your people.
And that is the truth. So like for us, you know, we'll say, we might say family getaway. We might say, you know, and we can be a couples getaway, but for us, what we get is multiple couples. So we get like three couples who want to go hang out together.
Yeah.
Friends trip. And so, yes, it takes some time. So I think I spent like one afternoon or something, and I just was like, okay, I'm going to do some homework. I'm going to really try to not just make up hashtags. Like, I really want this to serve a purpose. And once I kind of thought about it and started looking at it as more of a business mindset than just the rat race of how many likes or follows we're getting, when I started looking at it more of as a business, that's when things really started to kind of turn around. I was like, wait, I actually can navigate what gets seen on my account. I can do that. And so,
because, this is exactly, I mean, in my full-time job, I consult businesses on marketing strategies, specifically video. And this is what we talk about all the time is brand identity and target market. If you don't know who your brand is and how you want people to feel about it and who you're trying to reach, then whatever marketing you do is not going to be effective.
Exactly.
So it sounds like the third thing that people should know is who they are and who they're trying to reach. And if you don't know that, and that's not even Instagram specific, that honestly is going to help with all, but it will really help with Instagram so that the algorithm knows where to put you.
Well, and it's consistency too, right? Like, so you have all these hashtags.
Okay, well, now you're moving to, okay, I'm going to pause you because now I want to move to skills. So those are things that you can like intellectually know, but the next one are skills. So things that you actually have to do in order to be effective at Instagram. So it sounds like your first one is consistency. Talk to us about that.
Well, and I think, so consistency in, you know, not saying you have to post every day. I'm not saying that. Like, I don't believe that, because there was a weekend where it was just crazy. I was taking pictures for an event and I just did not get on the account. I think that's okay. But be consistent, be reliable, right? Like, you could take a day or two off stories, but if you see that you have 50 to 100 people viewing your stories, you have a following. You have people who want to see your stories. I mean, to me, 10 to 20 is a following. 5 to 10 is a following.
I know, I agree.
I'm like, people are clicking on your circle. Be consistent. And
I love you calling it reliable and not consistent, though. Not that you're right about consistency, but we hear that so much. It feels like pressure. Yeah. When you say be reliable, it feels like I'm a friend, right? I want to be reliable for my friends. I want to show up when I say I'm going to show up. And so I like that word choice there. I think it gives it a slightly different feel.
It's because you do start to feel like you have kind of like a little Instagram family, you know, like you've got people that reliably comment on your things and you start to feel connected. Like, that's the power of social media. That is what I believe gets you bookings. People feel connected to your account. And so consistency also in when someone looks at your, let's just say that your cabin pops up in their feed and they go to your account, but like your hashtags didn't really like match or your content doesn't really, you know, it's not consistent. So, you know, yes, if I use a hashtag like cozy rustic getaway, well, I better have a cozy rustic getaway when they go over, you know, or pup, for example, like pup friendly. Like, if you're a dog friendly, you need to have some dog friendly content on your account. Like, people want to know if they really can take their pets there. We don't overshare our kids, but, you know, I do like to show kids enjoying their time, you know, at our cabin too. I shared a little picture of my mom having coffee and our dog's up on the couch with her. Like, even my mom is on our Instagram because, I mean, we have all of our family there. So consistency in that too. But, you know, yes, so stories, I never used stories on a personal account, but I do believe that they do have some marketing power in.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to pause you. Let's move to two other skills. So things that people should learn how to do in order to effectively capitalize on Instagram.
I think that, so pay attention, like use your insights, like actually go in, and that's actually a really powerful thing. another thing I did not do for the first, I mean, at least few months, I did not know how to utilize the Instagram insights on my profile. They probably,
so what should folks learn how to do with them?
I think you need to look and see, okay, you have a reel that's performing really well. Why? You know, how is it different? Like analyzing your own work, critiquing your own work. Yep. And I think that once I started critiquing my own stuff, I was like, that's when things kind of started changing. Like, wow, you know, like that first reel I was telling you that went viral. Like I never in a million years would have thought that that would have been the kind of content that would have been more successful.
Yes.
So it is, you are experimenting and don't be afraid to experiment, right? It's okay if you have a reel that's a flop. That's okay. Why did it flop? And then move on and keep testing things out. I once I kind of developed that skill, it took the fear out of it a little bit. Like it didn't seem as scary. It was like, oh yeah, this is our page. Like, let's see how it works.
And if it flops, then I'm going to learn something from it. So what I'm actually hearing you say is the skill isn't learning how to use the insights. The skill is really like being able to self-reflect and analyze your own content, which I think can be hard for a lot of people. But if you get good at that, you're going to get better fast.
Yeah, and I think so. Well, and you could have content that may not be successful in the beginning, but if you just, it could be one little tweak. It could be, this is crazy, but it could just be that maybe you didn't have the right sound. Maybe you didn't have the right trending sound. You know, I could not believe how effective it has been to do a little bit of research on trending sounds. Mm-hmm. But that's just part of it.
Sounds like you're moving to a third skill. I love this. So
I might be moving to a third skill.
That's great. I think the third one, and I think this is an important one, is using trending audio. So tell us, what did you learn and what do you do now with trending audio that has helped you see the growth?
So my first piece of advice is don't use the first trending sound that you see unless it feels super like true to your page. This kind of goes back to consistency too. I'm actually really picky about the sounds that I pick for my page now because I need it to kind of vibe with my content and
your brand identity.
Yeah. I mean, consistency, like, you know, a reliable vibe on your page. Not saying you can't like shake it up and go crazy, but for the most part, what I have found successful by looking at insights and seeing what reels do really well and which ones don't is a certain kind of trending audio, trending sounds that just do well with our page. So you have to kind of, you know, your brand identity, don't let it be confusing to your followers. It can be. And so I
would say a great example we've seen recently of that is Beyonce's new country song. Everybody was using it. And the problem is it has a distinct feel that isn't aligned necessarily with everyone's brand identity.
I agree.
And so I'm not saying don't use that, but I saw that one showing up in a lot of places where I was like, huh, this country feel doesn't really make sense to what I had previously felt about this brand.
Do you see how it throws you off though? It throws you off. And I'm not saying people will be like, I got to unfollow that person now. However, it goes back to being reliable. Yeah. They start to count on your page for something.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. But I still want to push a little bit on this trending audio in the sense of like, can you give people who don't even know what trending audio is, can you give them some tips of how they would develop this skill?
Okay. So I've done a lot of research on this too, more time than I care to admit. What I have found effective is when you go into the tabs at the bottom and you're like, you click on the little video symbol and you're just kind of looking through whatever Instagram thinks you kind of want to see, like you're looking through reels that pop up. You might hear a song that you like. Okay. You can click on that song. There's a little arrow. If it's trending, it has the arrow. I don't always use a song that has a trending arrow, but if you click on that trending arrow, it's going to take you to like, you know, this list. Okay. I used to always pull songs from that list, but what I found was that if you click on audio that you like, and let's say you click on that song and it pulls up the artist up at the top and then all the reels that have used it. If you click on a variety of like reels that use that song, Instagram is smart. The algorithm is smart. What it starts to realize is that you're looking for trending audio. You're looking for audio with low views. And so what it does is if you do this enough, if you spend maybe 5 or 10 minutes a day looking at a variety of reels that have, you know, they're trending, maybe pre-trending, it starts pushing audio to you.
And the audio that they know you want, and it makes your life easier. But you just glossed over perhaps the most important part of trending audio, because I think you take it so for granted now because you use it all the time. And that is low number of uses. Yeah. Why does that matter?
Well, so I realized that if you go to that first page, like if you click the trending arrow and you go to that first page, a lot of those actually don't have like a low number of views. And so what I have found is that some of our, like our reels that have gone viral, some of them never had the arrow and some of them had as low as 250 views. Do not take those for granted, especially if that song truly is consistent with like the vibe of your page. If it really matches it, like I say, use it.
Yeah.
Because anything with really low views, when they click on that sound or they hear it, you're gonna be there. Like you're gonna be on that page with all those other reels, or people are gonna, you know, Instagram, like I said again, is smart. It's gonna say, wow, you know, this song or this trending audio has only got 200 views. Let's push this out. A lot of people, you know, this account is using this that might have a decent amount of followers. Let's push it out. And then all of a sudden you're like, a lot of people are seeing your reel that maybe didn't see the reel prior.
Okay. And let's pull the curtain all the way back, guys, because I think a lot of people don't talk about this because this is from my experience, the easiest way to grow your account fast. So I think some people don't talk about it because they don't want you to know. So let's pull the curtain all the way back. When it comes to trending audio, think about a trend like on a graph, like it starts and it's easing its way up and then it hits the peak and then it still has to come back down.
Yeah.
So what you're trying to do is you're trying to get trending audio when it's on that first
here.
Part. And the reason for that is because you're it's going to start trending and you're going to go up and it's go crazy, but you're still that lifespan from start to finish. I have a reel right now that I made over a month ago that is hitting a second wind because it's been riding that entire trend.
Yeah.
And so if you see one that's trending and it has 950,000 views, what that tells you is that it's been trending for a while and it's on the back end.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it won't work for you, but it's going to work for a very short amount of time. You want to catch it on the front end.
Well, and something else that's important, and this is a little hard to explain if you can visualize it. When you click on a trending audio, it gives you the artist and then it gives you all the reels underneath that have used it. If you look at the original, if the original has more than 1 million views and it's pre-trending or trending, use that audio. Because
amazing. I did not know that.
Because that person, that artist, creates reliable content. And if they're always, you know, it's just, it's all interconnected, right? It's that is a good indicator that audio is probably going to do well. And
it's all data, guys. The algorithm is AI. It's not a human. So it has to operate off of data.
If you kind of flip the switch and you're like, no, I'm not going to be scared by this. I'm not going to be intimidated by this. Use it to your advantage. There's a lot of audio out there that you got to look for it. And you do have to spend some time on it. At first I was like, this is silly. Like, I know this is dumb. Like, I was like, I don't want to have to spend time listening to all this audio. But then I realized like, no, wait, it doesn't take that much time. Spend 5 minutes a day, look at some trending audios. And then it's like, magically, all this audio starts getting pushed into my page. And I'm like, wow, thank you. And I'm not having to spend this much time. And so, I think trending audio, even though, you know, you might not want to admit it, it's important. I think that that's just part of marketing on Instagram. And the argument of reels versus carousels or short reels or long reels, I really think variety is the key. We tend to have reels do better on our page, but I've seen some people's page do really well with carousels.
Okay, as we're wrapping up, I want to sum up the big mindset shift, I think, that you talked about of not taking it as seriously, but what I really heard was like viewing it as a business. When mm-hmm. you started to view your page as a business is yeah. when that flip really switched for yeah. you. And then in terms of what people should know, they should know to use hashtags and keywords. They should know to maybe not use more than 10, so less than that. Yeah. And maybe most importantly, they should know their brand identity. Who are you?
Yeah.
What makes you different? And who are you trying to reach?
Yeah.
Then when it comes to skills, the things that you really need to practice to get good at and work hard on doing, I heard reliability, which yeah. was my favorite. I heard trending audio. And then what was the second one you said? Hold on, I'm going to think of it. Oh, and the second skill was getting good at analyzing your own content,
yeah.
using analytics to analyze your yeah. own content. And so every time you're making content, you're using what you've yeah. learned from the last one so that you keep getting better.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, and with your being consistent and just stories, I think they're underestimated. I think I pay a lot of attention to the little bar up at the top of mine. And so I think if you just are present, if you're true to your brand and you're present and you're there, people are going to keep coming to your page. And then yeah. that means
and remembering that's right. They're serving different purposes. So yeah. all of this goes back to, we've talked about this before, a sales funnel. Mm-hmm. And so to get people in the funnel, they have to find you. And that's yeah. where trending audio and reels are really effective to get new eyes yeah. on your page. But new eyes aren't going to book immediately after finding you. So the next step is, how do I get them to know, like, and trust me?
Yep.
And that's where I think stories are really helpful. You're not going to find new people via stories. Very rarely.
Very rarely. Yes.
But you will build that trust and relationship with them so that it might be a long sales funnel. We just had someone book and he had emailed and said, he's been following for 2 or 3 years
yep.
and finally booked. So it isn't about that necessarily immediate conversion,
yep.
but over time. Okay. We have 2 minutes left and I want you to tell me, what do you think makes a cabin a cabin? But thank you. First of all, thank you for all that insight on Instagram, because I think you're right. Yeah. A lot of people are asking these questions and want to know. And that was a really helpful perspective. But to wrap up, when you think about, and we kind of touched on this earlier
yeah.
with the one that didn't feel like a cabin, but what do you think makes a cabin a cabin?
I think what makes a cabin is the way you feel as soon as you walk in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, for us, it's that immediate, like, it just feels good. And it feels safe. And it immediately feels mm. like we have gone to a place where, I don't know, the worries just somehow or another, they just kind of melt away. And yeah. it cozy doesn't quite do it, but I definitely think like just a place of comfort
mm-hmm.
and it's soothing and it feels, I mean, really for me, it does feel like kind of a haven, like a safe place. Like,
I love that word safe. We've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Misty, this was such a treat. Thank you so much for joining us.
So fun. Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks so much for joining us. And if you liked what you heard, feel free to leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify or share some of your favorite parts over on Apple Podcast. If you have feedback or suggestions for the future, you can also find me on Instagram @CozyRockCabin. Looking forward to next week.